This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Joining us now on the Ben Skins Show from the Dallas Cowboys, it is the great Stephen Jones. How you doing, Stephen?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thanks so much for taking the time. We know how busy you are, and in particular, very busy wrangling in a war daddy. You got your man. You got a contract worked out. How relieved are you to officially get that deal done with DeMarcus Lawrence?
Well, obviously, it's a cornerstone piece for us. It goes without saying when you make a player, the highest paid player in the history of your franchise, and I think that speaks volumes as to what we think about DeMarcus Lawrence and the way he's played here. But it's a big piece to get in the rearview mirror, and obviously we're looking forward now with DeMarcus Lawrence to going out and him continuing to play the way that he's played and hopefully get us compete to win championships and him continue to be the elite player he's been. But a big deal for us to get that finished up.
As the story goes, you made the phone call or got in touch with DeMarcus personally on Friday. What made you make that call to get in communication, and did you feel that it was necessary to get the deal done?
Well, I give hats off to DeMarcus and his agent, David. They were the ones who really decided they would visit with us and that they'd have DeMarcus on the call. And, you know, I really felt like it was a great idea, and so did Jerry. Jerry wasn't on this particular call, but as I pointed out to DeMarcus, this certainly wasn't rare for us. We've had these type of interactions with our players, the players and their agents before, and they usually are very productive. As I said to a group here, I think sometimes you get in the negotiations and you forget you're on the same team, and things get a little confrontational or adversarial, if you will. And I think when you're able to look eye to eye and see that, hey, there's no love lost here. There's nothing but respect. Obviously, he's trying to get the best possible contract he can for himself and his family. And we're having, which is not his problem, which we pointed out, we're trying to divide the pie up in terms of the amount of money we're going to allocate to our players. And, you know, that's where sometimes you have a rub, but it certainly doesn't mean you still not have a tremendous amount of respect for one another, and you're still on the same team. And I think that's what came from that call is I certainly took from the call that he really wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy, didn't want to play anywhere else. And certainly I think he got from us that we had a tremendous amount of respect for him and I wanted him to be here, but we were trying to make everything work in terms of not only his contract, but the future contracts that and the challenges we have out there as we move forward.
Yeah, you know, and it was pretty interesting to hear him say, you know, I guess the story got out that he was waiting to decide if he wanted to play that card to say, okay, well, trade me then. But he didn't say it. He didn't want that. He didn't want to be traded. No. And certainly you guys had offers and interest, but you didn't want that. Both sides really wanted a deal, and I've always heard that the best deals are ones where both sides feel like they maybe left something on the table, or they didn't. Nobody won this deal, and by nobody necessarily winning this deal, everybody wins. Is that the way to look at it?
No question. And I think I told him he never used those words, as you said, never asked to be traded. I certainly told him that between Jerry, myself, Will, Coach Garrett, our organization, have never, even though we were at a little standstill, had never had any thoughts of him not being a Dallas Cowboy. And as you know, we feel like we've had a tremendous amount of success signing our own players when we put our mind to it. And certainly we were working on it. The numbers were significant no matter where you are at that point. And we just needed to do some little movement on our part. And he had a little movement on his part. And as you said, I think we got to something which is what you want in a negotiation is something that's fair. Rarely do you want, especially when you're, you know, working underneath the salary cap where our players certainly want to win a championship. you know, you can't go out and unfortunately maximize every last dollar, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's an edge rusher, whether it's a another particular great player. You want to do well, but you also want to leave some, you know, so you can put together the type of football team that you want to have here in Dallas.
Was it important to kind of get the ball rolling a little bit faster than maybe you typically would, just because he does need, you know, a surgery that has to happen to, before the season starts?
Certainly it didn't hurt. And the fact that we did know we had some timing there in terms of that surgery. So I think that did help in terms of creating some urgency, and I'm certainly glad we were able to get it done in a timely fashion so that D-Law now can get that surgery in the morning and get to work with Britt Brown and get it rehabbed and get ready to play this year.
Well, you know, we're armchair GMs, armchair quarterbacks, and armchair doctors and agents. We're armchair everything. And we were, you know, reaching out, trying to talk to surgeons and trying to get an idea of what the timetable was. And everybody was saying, okay, 3 to 4 months for a pretty traditional torn labrum. But if there's a rotator cuff issue, now you're looking at 4 to 6 months. This certainly, just as an outsider in standing here leaning on an armchair, it certainly sounds like it's a rotator cuff situation as well. One, it may be a more severe thing. When, and I'm not sure if you can even comment on that or not, but if either way, when do you expect him to be back and be back at full power?
Yeah, we think, you know, obviously we think we have the best in the business, and Britt Brown, in terms of his rehab acumen and the way he gets players back. But, you know, we've got certainly high hopes here and think that there's every possibility we can cut this time frame to 4 months, but we certainly understand it could go longer. I can't get into the details. Mm-hmm. You know, without DeMarcus's permission in terms of talking about, you know, players' medical, details of their medical. But if he feels like sharing that, he certainly will. And but we really feel very optimistic that we can get him ready to go and for the opener. And, you know, we probably won't take any undue risk, obviously, in the preseason there. But we'll certainly have him ready to where he's full feel like we can have him ready to where he's not limited at all when we open up the season.
Steven, last week, a report kind of came out that Randy Gregory had, you guys got a tiny extension done with Randy Gregory. Is that official yet, or is that still up in the air?
It's still up in the air. The league's reviewing it. We have some things we've got to work through with them, so it's not official.
I want to ask you about when Tank showed up at the captain's workout. We're outsiders looking in, and when something like that happened, did that influence anything positively, negatively, in any way? I mean, did that send a message that, hey, he really wants to be here?
Well, we never had any thought that he didn't want to be here. We've rarely had that issue, and certainly wasn't surprising that he would do something like that. And, you know, I think today was proof. I mean, seeing the sincerity of his comment, I mean, he was really, you know, he was dead set on remaining a Cowboy and felt like this was the best place for him, and we felt the same way.
So, Steven, when it comes to, you know, getting, I guess we're like 15 days away from the draft, it seems, where are you guys at in terms of your process? Have you guys started to set up your board?
We are. Certainly in that time frame where we're grinding away position by position. We have everybody in the room together now between myself, Coach Garrett, Will McClay and the coaching staff and the scouting staff. And certainly Jerry had to step away today for NFL business, but he'll be in there bright and early in the morning.
Man, it's pretty incredible the offseason you guys have had, systematically just eliminating needs and taking care of depth in certain situations. Do you feel like you're going into this draft with an absolute clean slate and without any screaming need, any sort of crisis at any one position?
Well, year in and year out, that's our goal, and that's our strategy. Although we, you know, our strategy, as you well know, is not to overspend in free agency or trading for players. Our goal is to fill our needs before we go into the draft, and we feel like that's a great recipe for having successful drafts, which, you know, my hat's off to Will McClay and his staff, to Jason Garrett and our coaching staff, you know, and our organization in terms of the drafts that we've had over the past 10 years. So it's been a good run. I think we continue to refine the process. I do feel like this offseason has been a good one for us in terms of filling those needs. And I think adding some really good football players. And I think it's, obviously the last box to check in terms of big priorities is now to go out and have a successful draft, which we're hopefully in the process of working through that. So we'll be prepared to have the type of draft we expect to have. Obviously, we've got to be good more than ever this year because we don't have a number one pick, but we've got a great player to show for losing that number one pick in Amari Cooper. But I do think we've checked all the boxes and really feel good that we have addressed our needs and that we can go in with a clean slate in the draft and are really, take the best player available. I know it's a cliche, but I do believe if you really, if you really prepare and you live by that, that's how you, put together these successful drafts.
So if you're talking about taking the best player available, does that mean we're not ruling out, any position at all? Like we talk about, hey, you guys might need an extra defensive lineman. As you said, you guys have filled all the holes pretty much. But does that mean that you would consider a running back or a wide receiver just as much as you would consider a safety or a defensive lineman?
I mean, you're always going to wait. You're going to wait some things a little bit. I think that goes without saying. So, where you feel like you are heavy, you hope there's going to be, and usually there are three, four, five players there that are, right there in the same vicinity. I mean, you're not always going to take, hey, this guy's, to use our vernacular, a 1-2-6, and this guy's a 1-2-7. They're in the bottom of the second. And not say, okay, well, since they're that close, let's take the, a position where we feel like we may need the guy a little more. Now, if you're sitting there looking and you got a really surefire first-round draft pick, and you're sitting there in the bottom of the second, like we did with Sean Lee, then you step up and you take the pick. And I think that's the differentiator there.
You mentioned that pie and splitting that pie up, and hey, that's not D-Law's problem, obviously. But, and there's other guys that are coming down the pike, good players you guys have drafted and developed that you obviously would love to keep. And so now that this deal is done and you create a little cap space here immediately, does that put you in a position now to move on to one of those other guys and try to get a deal done this offseason?
Yeah, to be candid with you, you never know when the timing's going to match up for the player, his representative, and, when they want to go. I mean, I would have no qualms with negotiating with, with three different players at one time. So to just say priority this, priority that, I think that's a little misleading, misguided, if you will. Mm-hmm. But there's, in a perfect world, I'd love to be done with a couple of them, on the same day at the, in the same week. So, we're always open for business and always open-minded to looking at, a situation. We may be more aggressive or less aggressive depending on where that player is at that particular time. And, that's how we work through this thing. But obviously, I think, Dak going into his last year, he's obviously way outplayed where we picked him. And then, of course, with Amari Cooper, what we gave up for him, obviously our intention was when we did give a one for him was to get him in here and get him extended whenever you give up a first-round pick. So, those are obvious. Others, have certain things that we will consider as we move forward, but it doesn't mean that we can't go to work and see if there's ways to figure things out.
Obviously, I'm not very good at math or anything like that. You've got to know your numbers to be in this business with the salary cap and how intense that is. Do you guys have three, four, five scenarios laid out and the future years ahead just kind of on spreadsheets or on a computer program? How does that even work?
You're not far off. I mean, we obviously have projections and when players come due and how much longer they have between their contract that they're under and the tenders and what the ramifications are for using franchise tags versus getting extensions done. So you're right. There's a lot of moving parts, and we do have a lot of spreadsheets that that we look at and strategize on, and got a great group here, and Adam Pacifica and Todd Williams, who do a great job of helping helping Jerry and I with that, and Will. So, you know, it's a you know, it's certainly something that you keep your eye on the ball at all times, and something that, you know, we've gotten really comfortable with in terms of the way we go about our plan. We feel like we've got a good plan as to how we want to proceed going forward, and so far all's good. And you're always going to hit some bumps. Things are going to, there's going to be surprises, there are going to be things that you don't expect that can happen to you, and you just have to be prepared to make those changes and adjust, if you will, or play option quarterback, as Jerry likes to say, and make those adjustments and move forward.
Well, we've certainly enjoyed talking to Jerry over the years and listening to Jerry. And, man, it's the same with you, Steve. And you always make yourself available for us. You're always very forthright and candid. And you just always make time. And it's really impressive to see you do that. And I just want you to know we're appreciative of that. So thanks again for jumping on with us today. We appreciate the insight.
Well, this is a fun time of year. And it's fantasy football for real, if you will, in some people's minds. But it's always great being on with you guys and being able to share with you guys and our fans kind of what we're thinking and what we're doing over here. And this next 3 weeks is huge for us in terms of the upcoming draft. It's a big, big deal, and there's going to be a lot of work going in, a lot of hours put in out here. But we want to continue to have the success we've had in the draft like we've done over the past 10 or so years.
Man, I feel like you got a no-hitter going in the sixth inning. I don't even want to say anything, except we'll just say goodbye to you. Keep up the great work. Thank you for your time, Stephen. We appreciate it.
Great being on, guys. Thanks.
All right, there you go, Stephen Jones, having a really, really good offseason.
Yeah.